There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The wait is finally over. The football playoffs are in full effect and the NBA is back. And the NHL is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still bet on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team player and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantages of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your bet sportsbooks online experts.
Man, did this dude just did this?
With the 20th pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Caris LeVert from the University of Michigan.
The problem is you don't want to mess with a bat because, as you may know, they can be ratted.
But there goes Artest after somebody in the stands. And he is going after a fan, and he is waylaying a fan, and this thing is now getting ugly.
Got them all?
Justin Holliday has come in all three.
Do we have them all?
He did first time in NBA history that three brothers on the floor at the same time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Born Ready to Pod Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Born Ready to Pod podcast. Before we get started into this shit show of a game that we just watched, Hawk, really want to commend you for that new intro that you pieced together for the podcast. I'd been saying I was going to do it, you know, for a couple weeks, didn't have the time to do it or look at it. I guess I was being pretty lazy, but you threw it together in a couple hours. Got the Oladipo stuff removed, got some new things added on there. So how you feeling after, you know, throwing together that fire mixtape?
Dude, it felt good. I mean, I just used kind of the stocks, like beats and stuff they had on GarageBand, but YouTube does wonders, man. And I just learned how to mix all that stuff real quick and it was fun. So who knows? I might just start doing more weird stuff on it.
Yeah. And other podcasts out there, I mean, maybe you're looking for a guy to hire for your intro. Got your
maybe
right.
I heard there's a new Detroit podcast starting.
Yeah, they definitely could look at using you. I know that that group of guys is going to definitely need all the help they can get. Anyways, let's get into this game. It kind of just seemed like a game the Pacers were going to lose from the start. I don't think they got their first lead until end of the third quarter. It was the early fourth quarter, somewhere around there, but every time they were able to get it close, you know, to a couple points, they were down, or, you know, even when they took the lead, it just seemed like the Mavericks took off. So they lost by double digits here tonight, losing by 12 points to the Mavericks at home, giving up 124 points. Definitely not something that you like to see. You know, obviously first game back from the road trips, always the, you know, what they say, the patented Denari thing. He always says it's the most difficult game, but Pacers didn't look too hot tonight. And I know, you know, the injury stuff's there, and obviously, you know, you're missing Miles Turner on the defensive side of the ball, so that makes a huge impact. But, I mean, the other thing here is points in the paint. Pacers allowed 68 points in the paint tonight, which is, I mean, quite a bit considering, you know, most of the shots are taken from three nowadays. And the Mavericks only shot 30% from three, so they only took, you know, they only took 27 threes and they only hit eight threes. So all their points came from the paint tonight, just completely eviscerated the Pacers down low. So thoughts on this game? I know it was annoying to watch, but we got to talk about it. What did you think about it?
Yeah, this game was hard to watch because in a few months, we're going to realize that we were missing probably our two of our four most important pieces. And we already kind of know that. We haven't seen Caris yet, but we expect him to be explosive and a good player. And Turner just not being there, that was the tone of the game. I mean, we tried the diamond and won against Luka, the same thing we did against Steph. And those lobs towards the rim, towards the basket with Kristaps, you know, some guys off the bench. They only played eight guys, really. But two guys off their bench, Trey Burke and Hardaway in the second half, who started actually, you know, those are the tails of the half. Those extra guys kick in for them. Porzingis is playing good around the rim, killed us. And it just didn't work defensively without Turner. And that's a huge piece, and that's what we were missing. But offensively, there's some things done well with McDermott. You know, Brogdon got it going a little bit, but we had the lead late in the third, down by one in the fourth, and going into the fourth, and we just never made that late run we needed to make. I mean, we never really made it interesting late. They kind of just controlled. So definitely a letdown. You could tell this Mavericks team's better than 500. We all peg them as like a top four team in the West before the year started. So not too worried about it. They're fully healthy. We're down two of our best players. So you kind of just take the lick and go. But I mean, this started a conversation in our group chat that I'm sure you'll get into at some point, but just how awful the Pacers have been at drafting. I mean, Goga's nothing. Holiday continues to have one good game out of like six. So like the Pacers drafting is the only thing they need to change to be a serious team. I mean, if you can get those wing productive, you know, guys, chip in guys, even maybe a superstar every now and then, this team is even more competitive than they already are. It's just crazy how bad at drafting they are. And those are my thoughts from the game.
Yeah. It's very frustrating. You know, Aaron Holiday is, you know, this is his third year in the league, and, you know, he's shown some promising, and, you know, the first couple of years in the NBA, especially that first year, we were expecting to see inconsistency from him. You know, we were expecting him to go through the bumps and bruises of an 82-game season. But we're in year three now, and I know he had 13 points tonight, but he also took 14 shots. So he only shot 5 of 14 from the field. Three-point percentage-wise, I think Denarius said before the game he was shooting like 29% from three, maybe 20. Actually, it could have been less than that. It could have been like 24, 25%, whatever. Still not a very good percentage from three from a guy who, you know, you're expecting to make those shots for you off the bench. And I'm not going to hold anything, you know, really against Aaron as much as the other guy I want to get into, but you know, Aaron's got to play better, because if this team ever gets fully healthy, you know, gets TJ Warren back later this year, Caris LeVert, you know, Miles Turner will come back, I think, here soon, but if this team ever gets fully healthy, TJ McConnell just by a wide margin has significantly outplayed Aaron Holiday this year. Definitely, you know, he's the engine off the Pacers bench. They need him out there. So I'm thinking, you know, if this team gets healthy, you know, there's no minutes for him, especially now that Jeremy Lamb's back. And I mean, like, well, we haven't even mentioned him yet, but his first game since last February, here tonight, he played 19 minutes and had 10 points. So, if you can get that kind of production off the bench from Jeremy Lamb, you know, and all these other guys, and we can get healthy, I mean, this team's going to be scary. But the one guy I do want to hit on specifically here is Goga. And I know he's coming off the injury. All right. I know he's been injured. It seems like he's always got something he's going through. But, you know, a game like tonight, when you're playing against Kristaps Porzingis, who's 7'3", and his wingspan is just, you know, five of me put together. I mean, the fact that you can't throw him in there with confidence to play defensively against Porzingis, or, you know, even just have confidence for him to be in the game, and you're throwing out, you know, 6'7", 6'8", Jakar Sampson, however tall he is. I know he's undersized. You're throwing Jakar Sampson out there, who I love. I think he's a great player. I mean, not a great player, but a great role player, a good end of the bench guy. But there's no reason Jakar Sampson needs to be in there defending Kristaps Porzingis. It's not going to work out, and it's nothing against Jakar. He just doesn't have a shot because he's so much shorter than him. So, I mean, the fact that you can't put Goga in that situation, you don't have the confidence to put him in, you know, in this type of game, I'm very concerned, because even though Turner's coming back soon, and you know, we still have Sabonis, so, you know, we have two bigs that we can shuffle in and out of the lineup even after they start, this team needs another big man, very, very much so. They got to get somebody that, you know, it's 7-footer. I don't care. He doesn't have to play every game, but I mean, I know a lot of teams play undersized, but when you have a matchup like tonight with a guy like Porzingis, I mean, you got to have, you know, somebody off the bench who can come in and give you some minutes off the bench and at least, you know, maybe not stop him, but at least make it difficult for him. And yeah, Goga just ain't it from what we've seen. And I don't think the coaching staff, you know, sees it either, because I think he'd get minutes tonight if that was the case.
Yeah, I think maybe because you needed a tall body tonight. I'm surprised he didn't get a second of play. That blows my mind. Just needed a guy in there just to slow him down, to be in front of him in the rim, like when Sabonis got tired and stuff. And that's something you could definitely see. But I mean, the most impressive thing tonight was Jeremy Lamb. I think he had a perfect first half, didn't have a great second half, but plus 10 off the bench, you know, in 19 minutes with the 10 first half points. So that was awesome to see. We kind of know what Jeremy Lamb is. We haven't seen him in a while, but he's a streaky scorer and he can definitely help this team, especially with some of those injuries. So this was just one of those weird games that I felt like we needed really bad. But at the same time, we got our schedule easing up after this. We should get to 10-6, hopefully, but there's just no guarantees. And this is one of those games that Kristaps and Luka absolutely dominated us from start to finish, which sucked to see, because I went through a rough day where I just lost my wallet early in the day and I spent 7 straight hours looking for it. I mean, I flipped my house upside down. I changed my bed sheets. I washed everything. I cleaned my room. I rearranged my closet, drove to the gas station I was at, searched the side of the road just for 7 straight hours, and I'm nowhere, none the wiser. So just a long day, a very boring day for me. And this kind of,
were you able to find it though?
Still haven't found it up to, you know, breaking news. Still don't know where it is. So I've pretty much given up at this point. I'll deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah. That sounds like a fair plan. But yeah, definitely, you know, a lot of excitement. And I know we haven't recorded, you know, since kind of we recorded after we knew we were getting LeVert, but obviously, you know, everything that's going on with LeVert, he's going to be out for a while. We're looking at least probably, you know, 6 to 8 weeks minimum. You know, maybe he comes back around that time frame, depending on what they find out, you know, here in the next couple of weeks. But this team, I feel like, you know, just if they're able to get healthy, you have Brogdon, LeVert, you know, TJ Warren, if he's able to come back, Sabonis, Miles Turner. And then you're looking at your core pieces off the bench. I mean, you got TJ McConnell, Jeremy Lamb, I feel like I'm missing somebody else here, but you know, you can just I mean, I feel like that's a solid 7 right there.
Yeah.
Aaron Holiday, obviously, if he can get his act together, Justin Holiday will be moving off the bench. Then you got Doug McDermott, who's having a great year, be able to bring him in that bench unit. And then Sumner, who's, you know, he's not going to go out there and, you know, put up 15 points every game, but, he's definitely shown that he's serviceable and he can give you some solid minutes. He can get a basket if you need him to. And defensively, I feel like he's done a pretty good job this year. So there's a ton of depth on this team. It just, you know, at this point in time, when you're missing 3 or 4 of your top guys, it's hard for those, you know, bottom tier depth guys to make up for like Miles Turner's production. So the only other thing here that I want to hit on too on this game is just the minutes as well. And this kind of goes back to Goga there as well. I mean, there's no reason that Sabonis should have been playing 41 minutes in this game. You know, Malcolm Brogdon had to play 38 minutes. Justin Holiday had to play 38 minutes. I'm not complaining about heavy minutes. I just feel like, you know, that just, they're going to get winded and tired towards the end of the game. And I feel like that kind of happened in this game. They had to get brought back in early in the fourth. So I feel like fatigue could have played a factor, but yeah, I mean, I love the Pacers' depth and I love everything about it, but you know, the injury bug has not done us any favors whatsoever. So.
No, and that's been kind of a theme of Nate's coaching, that he's going to play our big guys some big minutes. And you know, he's not afraid to maybe give them a rest day later down the road, but you know, right now he's riding the workhorses. So it's one of those things where these injuries, they just pile up, and this is a typical NBA season. Every team deals with this. Every team goes through it. You know, the good teams make it out on the other side and are healthy by playoffs. Is there any chance TJ Warren's ready by the playoffs? Is that, a next year thing? I mean, I haven't even really asked that question in a while. Do we know anything about that?
I don't think we do know anything about it. I think they said they will just pretty much reevaluate him, you know, sometime in the future. I don't think there was a timetable put on it. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe he can come back, you know, in April or May. Nice. He might be back for the playoffs. I wouldn't put a guarantee on it because they just, I mean, let's be honest here. I know that they're having a tough game tonight against the Cavs. But I mean, there's no way this team, you know, even if they got to the conference finals, is, you know, beating the Nets in a 7-game series. We're probably not beating the Bucks in a 7-game series. So this team is not set up to win this year. So I think that's why they're just preaching patience. They got a really, you know, nice young core intact. Of course, they want to make the playoffs and they want to make some noise, but the Pacers aren't winning the championship this year. I hate to break it to you guys. I think we're looking more towards, you know, next year and in coming years. I know we say that every year, but really, I mean, come on, we got James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving on the same team. It's going to be really difficult for us to beat that team in a playoff series.
I still think the odds favor them not all being together when the playoffs start. Something crazy is going to happen. I mean, it's three of the strongest, most polarizing personalities in the same spot. Like we said last time, Michael Grady's probably got the most interesting job right now, just seeing all this go down. But it's going to be fine when they're winning, probably. But I still don't think they're going to make it through the season. I don't know. I might be crazy for that, but I just don't know.
And I think I actually like them better with Harden and Durant paired together. So I think, you know, if they are going to make a move, I think definitely they're going to move off Kyrie, especially considering, you know, what he's done this season. Just a weird dude. I mean, I know he's done a lot of good things, you know, in the communities and things like that, but like just a weird dude, man. And you can't really trust him, you know, to come through for you. Like he could just disappear for a couple weeks and you don't know where he's at. You don't have an explanation. I also think it'd be tough to move him because what team is going to want to trade for him, you know, without the guarantee that he's going to want to play for him. So I think they're kind of stuck with this core because I don't think anybody really wants to, you know, make a deal for Kyrie, you know, with really not knowing where his head's at. Because, I mean, seriously, the dude could just retire, you know, whenever he wants, and it wouldn't surprise me. Like, he could retire tomorrow and I wouldn't be shocked.
No, not at all.
But anyways, looking ahead, Friday night, Orlando Magic come to town. Magic are currently 6-8 on the season. I believe they started off the year 4-0, but they've lost 8 games since then. Have went 2-8. Big injury for them was Markelle Fultz, who tore his ACL. He's out for the year, obviously. So, you know, looking at their starting group, they got Cole Anthony, the rookie, starting at point guard. Evan Fournier at the two. James Ennis the third. Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic are their two bigs. So, and then we can't forget about Terrence Ross off the bench, who always seems to be a Pacers killer. Dwayne Bacon, he's a guy who makes threes. So he's definitely going to be feeling it Friday night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So, what are we looking for in this matchup for the Pacers? Do you think this is a good spot for them to bounce back in, you know, after this disappointing loss tonight against the Mavs?
You know, this is a perfect spot. I mean, they've lost 5 in a row. They've lost their beginning steam. I mean, an NBA team to lose 6 in a row is pretty rare. So it's almost a trap game, but the Pacers are the better team. And I'm hoping Miles, he's day-to-day. We need him. We saw we needed him. If not, hopefully this is the last game he's out. But, you know, the really key is like you said, Terrence Ross not killing us and Vucevic not killing us. If we can slow down their stars, they have no shot. I mean, just looking at their injuries, Chuma Okeke, Alfredo Camarino, Michael Carter-Williams, Mo Bamba, they're lacking depth too. So if we can slow down their stars, slow down Terrence Ross off the bench, we should be fine. You gotta check Vucevic, and that's the key to beating this team. And they've lost 5 in a row, so should win.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to Sabonis versus Vooch down low. Obviously, if Turner plays, I think Turner will get on Vucevic, and Sabonis will be defending Gordon to start off with. But I do look forward to those two down low. Definitely, you know, Vucevic's off to a pretty decent start for the year. Obviously, you know, playing for an injury or a depleted roster, you know, he's got to do a lot more at this point in time, but definitely the guy you got to watch out for there. I feel like if, you know, you stop him, you have a really good chance of winning the game. He's averaging 23 points and 11 rebounds this year. So big part of their offense. And Aaron Gordon, I know he's had a couple games this year where he's went off. So just big for the Pacers to keep those, at least those two guys in control. And I think if they're able to do that, they have a good shot at winning. And then obviously Terrence Ross, I mean, just please God. I mean, he always beats our ass. Just take one night off, Terrence. You know what? I mean, pull a Kyrie, you know, go to a birthday party, do what you need to do Friday night. Just have some other plans. Please don't come to Indy. That's all I'm asking. Just give us the night off, man. We need this win. Even though, you know, our last win was, you know, last week against the Blazers, which it was a big win. It feels like it's been months since we've won a game. I don't know why it feels that way, but I think it's partially because of the West Coast road trip. But I feel like it's just been months since the Pacers have won anything.
Yeah, I'm already the guy I'm scared of now. Looking, played 25 minutes against the Knicks, only had 5 points. It's Ken Birch, and he's going to be the guy. I'm calling it now. He's going to make the bad players that have good games against the Pacers list. We're due one of those. This is the perfect spot. They're going to need a random guy to have a big game to want to beat us. So I'm calling that now.
Yeah, and we were tweeted at tonight about Trey Burke being added to the list. I'm like, yeah, no, Trey Burke's I wouldn't put him on that list. He's definitely.
Yeah, I looked because it sparked my interest because I'm always looking for an addition. Keep tweeting them at us if you see him. He averages over 10 points a game in his career in the NBA, and to me, that's not a bad player. You know, that is a step above a bad player. A bad player has to at least average below 10 and score at least 15 against the Pacers. Those are the minimum. Anybody can make it if they meet those two requirements.
And are you taking college background into consideration? I mean, considering the college career that Burke had into that, does that go into your determination, or is it just strictly what they've done in the NBA?
A little bit if it's a younger guy. So I will say Burke at Michigan, he was a bigger name. So that name definitely sticks as a guy that's I wouldn't consider bad just from off the jump. So, and he killed.
Yeah, I see it like if, you know, like Adam Morrison was in the league now, like even though he had a good college career, definitely if he went off on your team though in the NBA, he's definitely got to make that list. So,
yeah, or Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah, one of those two. If they go off. Even though they had a great college career, we already know they're being added to the list.
Or so. Marshall Henderson. I'm just thinking of random guys. Did the Gator Chomp against
Florida. Gosh, he feels like forever ago.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, yeah, big game Friday night. And then Sunday, we're going to the game against the Raptors. So maybe we can figure out a way to record that in the car on the way back. That'd be interesting. Yeah. But
I think are we 2-0 in games we've been to as a podcast? I know we had Hooters night, and then we had that one game against the Bulls and Oladipo's return, and then I think there was another game before
there was Lance night.
So 3-0. I think we're 3-0, 4-0, and going to Indy for games. So everything points to a win for bettors.
Yeah, we are 4-0. So yeah, I think we'll have the magic on our side on Sunday, but let's just figure out, you know, how to actually beat the Orlando Magic on Friday, then we'll worry about Sunday night.
Dude, that game's going to I've been thinking about it cuz I saw some videos of people just screaming at the players cuz there's nobody there. I mean, if we get a little tipsy, I don't have my wallet, but if I can somehow get like a fake one and maybe get some adult beverages in me before, they're going to be able to hear anything we say. I mean, the Raptors are going to – we're going to just be screaming that you shouldn't have let Bjorkman go. What's his name's the worst coach. I mean, they're going to be able to hear everything.
Tell Kyle Lowry he's got a fat ass. I mean –
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll definitely be interesting. I'm going to have to figure out because I am on this diet now that I've mentioned. And it's going well. I have no complaints, but yeah, I got to figure out a drink of choice at the game Sunday or before the game Sunday if we go get drinks before the game, because I can't do beer. Can't do it.
Skinny Girl vodkas all day.
What is it?
Skinny Girl vodkas and dry martinis, man. You just got to pound those. Then Mick Ultras if you want a beer. Just one Mick Ultra.
One Mick Ultra will do the trick. All right. All right. Well, that'll wrap up what I got here for you tonight. And I actually, I'm crossing my fingers here. I have a parlay tonight. The Hawks actually took the Pistons into overtime. They were down by 14. I need the Hawks to win by 3 points. If they do, I'm going to be a very happy man. 31 seconds left in OT, and they're up by 6 points. So I am very ecstatic about that. Hopefully that score stays the same, because I have a plus 1,096 parlay on that's going. And that's my final leg of the parlay that I need to hit.
Good luck.
So anyways, that will wrap up this show. And we will talk to you guys again after the Magic game and have more coming for you this Sunday for the Raptors. So appreciate you guys listening. Have a good rest of your week, and we will talk to you all soon.
See ya.